Our reading today comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians. Now, the two letters to the Thessalonians are an interesting duo. 1 Thessalonians is actually the oldest book in the New Testament, written even before the Gospels. Paul had founded a church in Thessalonica early on in his ministry. Thessalonica was a port city on the Aegean Sea that served as an important center of trade during Paul's time. It was also a city that had a complicated mix of both Greek and Roman cultures. So in his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul addresses some of the challenges he knew the church was facing there. The challenges of staying true to the teachings of Jesus while living in a place that was governed by Greek law and devoted to the Roman imperial cult. He encouraged church members to stay true to their faith, promising that Jesus would return soon to rescue them and all of his faithful followers. Now, 2 Thessalonians is tricky because it seems like someone other than Paul probably wrote this letter. Whoever the author was, they used Paul's name in order to borrow his authority. But the wording and the tone of the letter are very different from Paul's usual style. Whether Paul actually wrote this letter or not, the second letter to the Thessalonians is clearly trying to correct a misperception that came from the first letter. In the first letter, Paul, remember, had stressed that Jesus would be returning soon. In that letter, he wanted to keep hope alive and encourage the Thessalonians to keep going through hardships and persecution. But when we get to the second letter, the emphasis is reversed, and the Thessalonians are now being told that the day of the Lord, Jesus' return, it is still a ways off. It appears that some members of the church in Thessalonica had taken Paul's original encouragement to heart. They had put their lives completely on hold and were just waiting for Jesus to return. So in 2 Thessalonians, it's like the author is saying, remember when Paul said Jesus was coming? Not quite yet, so maybe you should keep on living. The author of 2 Thessalonians needed the church to start living again. He needed them to remember that God had created them not just to wait, but to work, to do the work that God was calling them to do in the world. So friends, I invite you to listen now for the word of God. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope. Comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last fall, we had a visit in worship from the then president of the Massachusetts Council of Churches, Anthony Barsamian. He came to share the news that he was passing the baton and that I would soon follow in his footsteps to become the new president of the working board of the Massachusetts Council of Churches. Now, I know that might sound a little fancy, but most of what I do as president of the board is rather unglamorous. I send lots of emails and run lots of meetings. I can relate well to those of you who are chairs of boards and committees. But there are times when I get to do some pretty cool things. Like this past Friday evening, when I headed to St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Church in Natick. I was there to moderate a meeting in which the member denominations of the Massachusetts Council of Churches voted to welcome a new denomination into that organization. They voted unanimously to welcome the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of New York and New England. Now, the Coptic Orthodox Church was founded in Egypt and traces its roots to the first century. The Copts have been around for a long time, and they have also long been persecuted, first by other Christians, and in more recent years by Muslims. Many Egyptian Christians have come to the U.S. to find religious freedom, and many of them have made their way here to Massachusetts. But it's taken them a while to build their own churches. Coptic communities in Massachusetts were originally hosted by other congregations, namely a Greek Orthodox church in Cambridge and an Episcopal church in Newtonville. The pastors of those two churches were present on Friday evening. Also present were members of the former Mount Olivet Lutheran Church in Shrewsbury when that church closed their doors a few years ago. The Mass Council of Churches helped find a home for some of their sacred objects, including a large wooden cross, a wooden lectern, and their communion table. Those sacred objects now reside at St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Church in Natick, a congregation that now owns its own building, a building that originally housed a Presbyterian congregation. The Coptic Church in Massachusetts is flourishing now because of support from a wide variety of denominations. The Coptic Church can remind us in a powerful way that what binds us together in Christ is so much stronger than anything that tries to tear us apart. After the official vote on Friday evening, the leader of the Coptic Orthodox Diocese, Bishop David, he stood to speak, and he began simply by saying this: "Friends, we need each other. When the world tries to tear us apart, we need each other." Now, earlier in the day on Friday, there was another powerful reminder of why church matters these days. Folks gathered in Baltimore for a funeral service that honored and celebrated Maryland Representative Elijah Cummings. The service was held at New Psalmist Baptist Church, where Representative Cummings attended worship every Sunday for nearly 40 years. The service was held there to honor his wishes, and in his eulogy, his pastor explained why Representative Cummings wanted his service at his own church. What Bishop Walter S. Thomas Jr. said was this, speaking to all of the politicians and dignitaries and church members who had gathered, he said, Elijah wanted you in this church because he wanted you to know what he found in church. Elijah found in God's house that God will help you not just recognize your own frailties. God will also help you cling to your own possibilities. That's what Elijah came to church for. Bishop Thomas went on to explain that Elijah needed to come to worship each week. He needed a place where he could slip away from the power of politics and the prestige of his office and simply sit in the pews like everyone else. He sat there as Brother Elijah. And Bishop Thomas said he comes here for the same reason everyone else does, to get the strength to go back to the assignment God has given him to do. Some of you are weary in your well-doing. Some of you are weary because of all you have had to face in these turbulent times. Some of you are worried and feeling fearful about the state of the union. But week after week, Elijah Cummings came to church so that that kind of pessimism would never take root in his soul. So that that kind of hopelessness and despair would never be the tenor of his conversation. He came here every week because God was telling him, I will give you the strength to go back and make a difference for one more week. All you need to do is have faith and believe that somehow I, God, will make a way. What Bishop Thomas said at that funeral on Friday morning, what Bishop David said at that gathering on Friday evening, both of them remind us of why church matters these days. What happens in churches matters. Because it's true that we need each other. We need to be reminded that what binds us together in Christ is far stronger than anything that tries to tear us apart. And friends, we need our God. We need to be reminded that our God will make a way somehow, even through the most difficult times in our lives. That is why we need church. That is why we need a place like this. Again and again in Scripture, we see the ways in which God calls us into community. The church today continues to bear witness to this call, drawing us into a community of faith where we can share our grief and our goodness, our struggles and our successes, our heartaches and our hopes, our loneliness and our love. How we live together in community bears witness to the truth of the gospel. What happens here, inside these walls, reveals to the world that we are a people of goodness and grace, healing and hope, laughter and love. And that is a powerful witness to the truth of the gospel. In a culture that tries to tear us down and tear us apart, the world needs this witness now more than ever. As a church, we are called to be a powerful source of love in this broken and battered world. And that's not always easy. But what makes our witness even more powerful is that we proclaim that what we do here matters, even when it's hard. So on this New Member Sunday, we celebrate the people who have invested themselves in the life of this community of faith. We celebrate the longtime members and the new members. We celebrate the first-time visitors and the regular attendees. We celebrate all the people who invest their time and their energy, their prayers and their passion into the life of this church. And on this Stewardship Sunday, we also celebrate the people who invest their financial resources in the life of this congregation. We celebrate longtime givers and first-time pledgers. We celebrate the gifts of every size given by every person on every Sunday, the gifts that make this community of faith possible. Friends, I am convinced, now more than ever, that what happens in this place matters. Church matters because we need each other. We need to be reminded that what binds us together in Christ will always be stronger than what tries to tear us apart. And friends, we need our God. We need to be reminded that God will always make a way somehow, even through the most difficult times in our lives. When the world tries to tear us apart, when the world tries to tear us down, we need each other. We need this place. It is my hope and my prayer that you, too, will invest who you are and what you have to give, so that the mission and vision of Old South Union Church will grow and flourish for years to come. Because Jesus hasn't returned yet. We are still waiting. And so we ask for God to bless every work and word among us, so that everything that we say and everything that we do and everything that we give of who we are and what we have might be for the glory of God. Amen.